whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
And happy Friday, Kansas City. Please drive safe as we have more snow. Shocker. I'm ready for swim trunks, flip-flops, Coronas, and lime.
I told Mac this morning because I picked him up again.
Aww.
And it's just safe that way. Like, there's no way he was getting out of that used car parking lot he calls a driveway at his house this morning.
Is it that big?
No, it's not big at all. It's just got like 17 cars parked in it, and Max was the one parked furthest down, so that's have to move like everybody's car, even for him to get out in the morning. So went by and picked him up today, and I told him in the car.
Did he ride in the back seat again?
He did. I said, he said, Jeeves? And I said, yes, driving Mr. Mac.
Oh, that's cool.
But no, it's easier that way. Be safe and everything. But I told him this morning, I said, look, I'm ready to go. I'm done.
You were like, I'm done. I'm over it.
Over this snow. Schools are out today again. Olathe, Overland Park, at least Summit's closed. They've been closed all week. Blue Springs closed all week. Shawnee Mission closed now. We've got Blue Valley closed now. So everybody's shut it down after one day back. I don't know what was worse. Missouri just shutting it down for the week or everybody going back for one day yesterday, because pickup was a treat yesterday as well. So be careful out there. I didn't think the roads were great this morning. You thought they were a little bit better than I did, Dusty. But then we look up on TV, and my God, if you would have left the house 5 minutes later today, you wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah, there was a pretty nasty wreck on 435, right by, what'd you say,
103rd and 435, on the Missouri side. Yeah, bad.
I definitely passed it, because I came over the hill, and what it looks like you're driving the Millennium Falcon with all the snow coming at your windshield.
Mm-hmm.
I started seeing, road flares, the MoDOT sign, or the truck that says, get over. There's, a blockage on the exit, and I was like, that's not good. That's when they're doing this. It's never good. And then, you told me there was, unfortunately, a fatality over there.
Two, I think, is what it said this morning. Damn. So, 435, right, just kind of west of the triangle. That is a disaster area right now, so stay away if you can. Just be safe. Go slow. I received a text this morning from our friend Rob Maloney. He goes, what's going on? How are the roads? I'm like, they're not great, man. They're just not. So, for all you wondering why, again, school's canceled and all that kind of stuff, the roads just weren't great. And the snow's supposed to kind of continue on until about 8 o'clock this morning. Or something, they said. So just hunker down again and kind of wait this thing.
Eight.
Is it going to dissipate by 8? Is that what they're saying now? Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So, just kind of hunker down, hang out, and get drunk and listen to us and watch us on the YouTube channel or whatever you want to do this morning.
Yeah, you can do that. You can go to YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter. It's on there now, both of our faces. Bob's got his festive scarf on, rocking his Ohio State sweatshirt.
That's
ready
right.
for the game
Big
tonight.
Big game tonight. Let's go.
How tight are Skark's pants going to be tonight? Guaranteed skin tight.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, skin tight gray with a white Texas quarter zip on.
He'll look good, man.
Stole my outfit.
He will look good on the sidelines tonight. Him and Ryan Day, both big games for them, obviously. And last night, my goodness, I didn't get home till the second half started.
Perfect.
Last
That's
night
all you
that
needed.
Game. And it really was all I needed, obviously. I mean, that second half last night was as fantastic a football game. And I texted you. Mm-hmm. I go, I love games like this where I don't have a rooting interest. And Dusty's like, let's go to overtime, right?
Yeah.
And we almost did last night.
Yeah, I cheeked that. I was like, overtime, here we go. And then it was like, inside slant, interception, James Franklin, puke, fraud, fire him.
1-15 now against AP top 25 teams.
Fired!
I'd like to know how many other coaches have similar records. What's Ryan Day's record against top 25? What's Sark's record against top 25 teams? I bet when you start to kind of, pull it all out and try to see what everybody's record is against top 25 teams, I bet there's very few coaches that have really great records against top 25 teams. But 1-15, man, that's pretty brutal, isn't it? 1-15 against top 25 teams? Whew!
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a conversation to be had in the offices at Penn State with James Franklin, because that was a very interesting way to end the game last night. You had total control. Mm-hmm. You go to overtime. College, I think it's just, at least in my opinion, Mac, you can help me with this because you're super analytical as well, but you're guaranteed in college football to get the ball in overtime.
Yes.
You're just guaranteed to get it. And I know getting the ball second is, I think, kind of an advantage in college football.
Do you think so? I go back and forth based on the results of the game I'm watching.
Because you can react. At least you have a react. Because like if they get a field goal, you're like, all right, we at least just need three. But if we get a touchdown, we win.
Yeah.
Whereas like if you go first and you get a field goal, you're biting your fingernails on the sideline.
Yeah. So think of it like that Chiefs Super Bowl last year. Getting that ball second, right?
Yep.
Do you want the ball second? Okay.
You know what you need.
Great analogy. Now I understand better. That's perfect.
Yeah. Right. And they had the ball with 40 seconds left?
Or 48 seconds left or something like that.
They ran an over-the-middle inside slant, and the sophomore from St. Louis, as they said, got the interception for Notre Dame.
Great pick. Mm-hmm.
And that quarterback, you could just tell immediately, was like disheveled. He was just like completely energy sucked out of him. And then Notre Dame, three plays, kneel it, get it to the middle. Derek Jeter's kicks a field goal.
I mean, that guy's pretty damn good. Like, college kickers, for the most part, are ass.
Well, did you see Notre Dame was the worst college kicking team when he was out, and then they became the best when he came back?
Yeah, it was wild.
Like, amazing, dude.
Yeah, like, he had a bad groin injury, and the old man in the crowd, you know, I love the crowd shots of the parents and the fathers watching, you know, the game and videotaping.
Yeah, had it this way.
Yeah, had it the long way, right? Like, grandpa. And he kicks the field goal, and it goes through, and they win, and he lets it record for a little bit longer, then you could see him hit the stop button and then start hugging all his buddies in the crowd. I'm like, that's cool, man. That's what being a dad's all about, seeing your kids do well and having that fun and having successes. And there was no more successes that you could have had than Jeter last night kicking that through. But I guess he had a groin injury. His dad's a chiropractor, and they said
doctor.
Yeah, exactly. He worked out the groin injury, you know, doing some magic by cracking the back and got the guy ready to go. And yeah, I heard that as well last night. I was like, wow, that's a huge swing right there to go from the worst to the best. And that was one of, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be because I usually am, but I think that was one of two players that Notre Dame got in the transfer portal, and that's all they've gotten in the transfer portal was their quarterback and their kicker.
And how that, and how'd it work?
Wonderfully, right?
Good job.
Wonderfully. Because their quarterback was with Duke last year, and the kicker was with South Carolina. And they said those are the only two guys so far that Notre Dame has used the transfer portal on. Boy, that's good GMing, right? Well, we only drafted Mahomes and Travis Kelce and whatever else. You hit a home run on those. So Notre Dame going 2-for-2 in the transfer portal.
Yeah, Harrison Butker, practice squad player. Thanks, Carolina. Other news that we got before we dive into the show, the game officially moved to Arizona. The game that we're talking about is the Rams versus Minnesota. They're not going to play in L.A., obviously, with everything that's going on over there. But they are going to play that game in Arizona now. I don't know how much that shifts. We talked to Alex Gold about it yesterday. If you missed it, check out the podcast. He said it shouldn't really fluctuate the line that much, obviously, because he said the key point is the Rams play there once a year. So it's still not really their home field, but it's like they have more, I don't know.
It's still a disruption to the schedule, though.
Oh, sure.
And you're a team that worked hard all year, got home field advantage, and now you have to travel on the road.
If I was the Rams, I'd leave now.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they've already jetted town. And, well, but also, too, though, I mean, J.J. Redick's house burned down in this fire. I don't know if you guys saw that.
The Lakers fired him?
Yeah. So it's really like how many of these players and coaches are being personally first person affected by
Steve
these
Kerr
fires
as well,
too.
Wasn't it his mom and his mom's house?
Oh, I didn't see that one too. Really,
I thought you sent us something where you're like, you said something like, "There's like thanks Steve" or something like that. But
it was Steve Kerr saying, "Yeah, he was." I forget what he was.
But
talking
I thought he
about.
Said that he was at his mom's house like 2 weeks ago, and now that house is no longer there.
I missed that part.
Or it just missed. It was something like that. But yeah, it was interesting.
So it was like, you know, so a lot of these guys could be losing their homes or families and whatnot. So do you leave? When do you leave? Like, because if you leave, then you're taking all these folks away from their family in a time where you probably need everybody around to kind of get through this mess that's going on in California. But it's the right thing to do. And, you know, we were talking about the air quality of stuff. But for me, what really is security. How can you put on an NFL game and have security and EMS and all that stuff at an NFL game in Los Angeles when the city is burning? You just can't do that. And so that's why you ultimately move this game, because of how many security and police officers and EMTs and all the stuff it takes to put on an NFL game. Could you imagine if they used first responders at an NFL game instead of out there fighting the fires, what the blowback would be, you know, for the NFL? So it's the right thing to do, because the resources just aren't there right now to put on an NFL game, and that's why you have to move it. Air quality obviously bad, what's going on terrible, But you need security, you need police officers, you need EMTs, you need first responders at every game. And if those guys are standing around at a football game and not, you know, helping the fires and the victims and all this kind of stuff, horrible look for the National Football League.
You want to feel old for a second?
Yeah.
The Sopranos debuted 26 years ago today, 2001, January 10th. That's crazy.
That's 24 years
ago. Right, yeah, I guess it'd be 26 would be 99.
Yeah, 99. Yeah. I was going to say, I thought it debuted before 2000.
Have you dove into The Sopranos yet, Mac? It's a commitment.
That is top of my list. Oh, it's dude, no, I know,
every
but I know I'm
at
going
least
to
an hour, yeah, seven it, seasons.
That's kind of my kind of show, though. Yeah. Writing, yeah. Acting, like, I want that, man.
Yeah, you
I'm
watch
in.
Two episodes a night. I mean, that could expedite it, but I mean, obviously, there'll be some nights where it's like, because what I would do when the football season's over, Sopranos. Yeah, and then dive into The Wire.
I was going to say The Wire's on my list. Those are two top ones. Okay.
Yeah. Sopranos is outstanding. I mean, you talk about like great writing and great TV shows and character development and all that kind of stuff. Like, that's top of the list.
And there's also a band member of Bruce Springsteen is one of Tony Soprano's main guys. I'll never forget this moment in my life because Springsteen did the Super Bowl halftime show at Pittsburgh, Arizona. And
oh my God, I got one for
and
you.
So I was like, you guys go down, because we went to the casino, and I was like, you guys can go down to the floor. I'm gonna watch halftime. And that was obviously the when Springsteen did the slide and hit his nuts right into the camera. And my buddy, who's like a huge Sopranos fan, big football player, he's like, damn, that's Jimmy. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, that's the guy from or not Jimmy, but whatever. What's his name?
Why am I drawing a blank?
Silvio Dante.
Silvio, yeah.
He goes, I'm thinking he's like, that's Silvio Dante. I was like, well, yeah, but that's, you know, he goes, nah, man, that's the guy from The Sopranos. He goes, I had no idea. He goes, you mind if I sit here and watch this with you? I was like, go ahead, man. Welcome to Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. So that's all the Bruce Springsteen talk for the day, I promise.
Well, I got one for you. So that's Super Bowl, right? I was there working or whatever the case may be when Bruce Springsteen performed the halftime. And the entertainment act usually does like a press conference on Thursday or whatever. Mm. They talk to everybody, right? And so I was working in St. Louis at the time, and there was a guy named Howard Balzer, who was basically Mel Kiper Jr. before Mel Kiper Jr. and Mel snaked his job from him at
ESPN. The Manpire.
And so Howard's wife was a big Bruce Springsteen fan, and we dared her to go backstage at the press conference and kiss Bruce Springsteen.
Ooh.
You better believe she did.
Did she really?
Wow.
I'd have done it for free.
You better believe. Oh, we didn't give her anything. We said we dare you to do it. Okay.
Yeah. A little Stevie Van Zandt, baby. Oh, man.
So you would kiss Bruce Springsteen on a dare?
On the lips.
Yeah, why not?
Remember that story where he took a shot of tequila and then drove off on his motorcycle and they tried to give him a DUI and then it got overturned?
No.
You didn't hear about this? True story.
One shot of tequila and they tried
to... And then he got on his motorcycle and drove off, and some Richard cop immediately came behind him, pulled him over, tried to give him a DUI, and then it got settled out.
Oh,
like, do you know what you're doing? That's the boss.
And it's only one shot.
Yeah, the cop was like, I thought you were born to run, not ride. Either way.